Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and thanks so much for tuning in to our EN channel. And like I do each and every week, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And so let me begin our time with this. So it was May of 2022, and if I can take you back in time to that moment, if you can feel it with me, that, man, people were just beat up emotionally and mentally. We were coming off the heels of COVID, and, man, our nation was just embroiled in kind of political division and racial tension, and, man, it just had been a beatdown. But all that was about to be soothed and eased by the great psalmist Lady Gaga, right? And Lady Gaga, she put out a hit single to a soundtrack, and man, the opening lyric was just kind of like a balm to soothe the soul. And she just begins and she says, "Hold my hand, everything will be okay. I've heard from the heavens that skies have been gray." She sings it a lot cooler than that, but just that song, man, it was the right song at the right time, and wait for it, for the right movie. And if you remember, the movie was none other than Maverick, Top Gun. Like, man, we had to wait 36 years for the Top Gun sequel, and we finally got it, and Tom Cruise didn't disappoint, and so it was amazing. Like, my wife Susan doesn't go to movies. And so, but yet she approached me. She's like, "Hey, we need to go see Maverick, Top Gun." And so I'm all in. And man, it was interesting. Like, we hadn't been to the theater in so long. I like, things have really changed, man. Like, they got Lazy Boys you can sit in now when you go to the theater. And man, you don't just have to get popcorn and milk duds, man. They got a menu. You can order food. And this is outstanding, man. Why have I not been doing this? And it was funny, though, that the theater was still a little bit empty, and except an entire row was filled up with about 8 to 10 people that are 60-plus years old. They were kind of reliving the glory days of Top Gun, and I kid you not, one of the leaders of the 60 and over gang, they were giving out Top Gun pins to everybody that were in there, that they could proudly wear them as we saw the screening of the sequel to Top Gun Maverick. And so, man, if you remember, like, my wife was so invested in this movie. Like, it's interesting. You remember the mission that Mav and the Top Gun students they had? That the mission required that their F-18 fighter jet could not exceed the altitude of 100 feet in the sky. That the minimum speed had to be 660 knots or more. And so they had to navigate through this terrain that's winding back and forth and back and forth. And I look over at my wife, and as Mav's going back and forth, left and right, and I look over at Susan, and she's going left and right, left and right. And then as if she's absorbing the 9+ G-forces, she's... And so my girl was all in, man. And if you remember, it was just a feel-good movie. The good guys won, the bad guys lost. And man, it was just the right movie at the right time. And do you know, one of the actors in that film was a guy by the name of Glenn Powell. I think we have an image of him coming up. And he played Hangman. But do you know that initially, Powell, he auditioned to be Rooster in the film. And he didn't get the role. And he was dejected and upset. But before he left, Tom Cruise asked if he would come into his office. And it was there that Cruise asked, "Hey, would you consider playing the role of Hangman in my film?" And to which he abruptly said no, like his ego was hurt. "I'm not going to play that. I wanted to be Rooster." And then Cruise says, wait, just sit down. He says, "Tell me, what's your vision for your career?" And Powell, he didn't even pause. He says, "What my vision is, I want to be you. I want to be the GOAT and make major motion pictures." And he says, "Tom, you get great roles." And he says, "No, that's not true." He says, "I pick great movies and I make my role great." And I think that's worth repeating. I pick great movies and I make my role great. And so, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you should know this. Man, your life is playing out in an epic drama. Like better than any major motion picture you can envision, that you and I, our life is playing out this drama, this story of God reconciling the world back to himself and making all things new again. It's an epic film that you're a part of. And so I guess the big idea for today is this. Will you play your role, and will you make it great? Will you make it great? And so, man, one thing you got to know is this. Jesus is the star of this film. Jesus is the star of this film, but you and I, we get to play a role. We get to play a part. And so will you step into the role that God has created for you? So do you know that that there's some amazing actors that they turned down these epic roles that would have altered their career forever? Like, do you know that John Travolta, he was originally cast to be Forrest Gump. And so he turned it down, and so it went to Tom Hanks, and so did the Oscars. That Will Smith, that he was supposed to be Neo, but instead he turned it down, and it went to Keanu Reeves. That Al Pacino, that he was supposed to be Han Solo in the Star Wars trilogy, but instead what? The role went to Harrison Ford. That Hugh Jackman turned down the role of James Bond, right? And so instead the role went to Daniel Craig. And so these actors, they missed out on the greatest roles of their career. And I don't want that for you. And you know, in the Bible, we see in John chapter 6, some disciples that turned down the role in the epic story of God. Like, if you know the story, John chapter 1 through 6 is, man, Jesus is just blowing and going. He's doing miracles. He's healing the sick, raising the dead. He's feeding thousands. And doing all these miracles, man, the crowds just followed him. And so Jesus was going to thin out the crowd in John chapter 6. And he's going to say these words. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." And it says with that, the disciples, they declared, hey, this is a really, really hard saying. And with that, one of the most alarming verses in the scripture, John, wait for it, 666. John chapter 6, verse 66 says this. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And so I just wonder, man, in the scope of eternity, those disciples, man, receiving a hard saying from Jesus, I wonder how many, if they could go back in time, would go, and man, and they would just, despite the fact it was a hard saying, that they would follow Jesus. See, they missed their role and the opportunity to make it great. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 14. And with this, let me just kind of narrate kind of what takes place, and then we'll pick out a few verses. And so in Acts chapter 14, remember, we have Paul and Barnabas, the dream team, are sent out from the church at Antioch to begin to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And man, Paul and Barnabas are going, and man, they're making disciples, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, planting churches. And then they get to this place called Lystra. And in Lystra, we see that Paul, once again, and Barnabas, they're preaching the gospel. Get this. A man who was crippled from birth is healed and begins to walk. The people of Lystra, they lose their mind, man, and they start worshiping Paul and Barnabas as Greek gods. They said that Paul was the god Hermes and that Barnabas was Zeus. And upon hearing this idolatry and worship, man, Paul and Barnabas, they ripped their garments apart. And then we pick it up in Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Paul cries out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." And so here's what you need. Like you got to remember, So Jesus is the star of the story. Paul, this is Paul's appeal. Hey man, don't worship me and Barnabas. Jesus is the star of the story. And while we're talking about stars, you know, Tom Cruise is supposed to be the star of Top Gun. And if you've seen the film, man, you know there's just, man, breathtaking cinematography where, man, it feels like Cruise is driving and flying these F-18 fighter jets when in reality, he's actually in the back seat of the fighter jet. That in the pilot in the front seat is a Navy Air Force man, and so he's doing all the driving, and it looks like Cruise is doing it. And so Tom Cruise was no more flying that jet than my wife was in the movie theater, right? And so and that's kind of our story. Do you know that like Jesus is the star of this epic drama, man? He is flying the plane. And you and I, man, we're just in the back seat. We are followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, we're a bunch of nobodies telling everybody about somebody who will save anybody. And that anybody is none other than Jesus Christ. We'll pick it up in verse 19. I want you to feel the turnaround here from worshiping them to now they're going to stone him. In verse 19, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Like, did you catch that, man? That's a quick turnaround from worship to stoning him. That's a lot like Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, to crucify him. Crucify him, man. And so take it from one people pleaser to another. People pleasing is exhausting and impossible. And you know what? The same people that are patting you on the back one day will be the same people that'll stab you in the back the next day. Listen, you and I, we're called to love and to serve people, but we're only called to please one, and his name is Jesus Christ. I know some of us, we can get caught up in the social media thing, and man, this is social media is nothing but modern day stoning. Man, people just waiting for you to screw up so they can start hurling rocks at you. And isn't it true, man? You can get all these beautiful posts and comments and whatnot saying how awesome you did or whatever, and it just takes one person picking up a stone, man, and throwing it, and it just can wreck your entire day. You forget about all the positive, and man, and the one negative thing, boom, it just hits you like a rock in the face. And so, Listen, I just want to make this. Do you know that hockey, it's legal to fight? And so I like fighting in hockey. I like watching it. I don't like being in it. In fact, if you remember, I've always joked about this, but hockeyfights.com, it says that I had 63 fights, but it also says I only won 4 of them. So I much prefer watching the fights than being in them. Wasn't very good at it. But I say that to say this. That Paul, he was privy to several stonings. In fact, we read about it earlier in the book of Acts, that he was there at the stoning of the church's first martyr, a man by the name of Stephen. And it said that he held the other individual's coats so he could watch the stoning take place. But this time, he's no longer a spectator. He's now the recipient of the stoning. And so I asked ChatGPT, man, what was a biblical stoning, if it could describe it to me. And so ChatGPT said that they would choose the right weapon of choice. And so it would have to be a rock that's not too big so you could get enough velocity on it, but it couldn't be too small so you could have a maximum impact. And so it had to be a little bit larger than your fist. And then they would aim for the head or the torso where the major organs are located. And then they would hit the individual until eventually they would be concussed or internal bleeding, and it would force them to fall to the ground in the fetal position. And as they're in the fetal position, now the blows take greater intensity because you can throw your objects downward. And there would just be a steady rhythmic thump, 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 thump. Like if you ever heard like flesh being pounded like that, it's over and over and over again with the occasional cry or scream from the individual as the life slowly drains out of their body. And that's the Apostle Paul. And they drag his body outside the city and they leave him for dead. We pick it up in Acts 14 and verse 20. It says, but But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And so, isn't this amazing? The disciples gathered around, and Paul, he rose from the dead. Like he rose from the dead. And that's kind of the big takeaway for today is that, man, Paul rose up and went back in, man, and everything changed. And I've said this for years, man, if you want to live, you want to win in the Christian life, whoever gets up the most wins. Like God, he's calling us to be a rise up people. That, listen, Jesus, he had to get up, man, and he changed the world. That Lazarus, he had to get up out of the grave. Then in Acts 14, we read about a crippled man who at the word of Christ, man, he got up again. And so whoever gets up the most, they win. And so if you don't believe me, I'll direct you to the words of the Old Testament prophet, Rocky Balboa. I'm going to show you a scene from Rocky 6. I will put a little disclaimer on this, that Rockies 1 through 3, that's the trinity of Rocky movies. The other ones can tend to be a little bit heretical, but there's a great line from Rocky 6, and we're going to show it now.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Did you catch that, man? Man, whoever gets up the most wins. I mean, I watched that little clip. It makes me want to fight somebody, right? And it's kind of fascinating to me that Jesus, he renames Simon, and he calls him Peter. Peter means the rock or Rocky. But I think if Jesus, he could, man, he should have called Paul Rocky, because that guy was much, much more like Balboa, because that guy had to get up again and again and again. Let me read to you just some of the stuff that Paul Balboa had to endure. He says this in 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 24. He says, 5 times. I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, lest one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And so, listen, I don't know if you realize, man, if you ever think you're having a bad day, just read about Paul. But yet Paul didn't allow these troubles and these difficulties to crush him. He trained himself, man. God gave him the grace to be able to get up, to rise up. Remember, whoever gets up the most wins, man. Paul would go on, and he tells the story later on in the book of Acts, how he's shipwrecked and he's at sea and he's hungry and cold, and he just goes to make a fire to warm himself on the coast of Malta. And as he's on the shore, he makes a little fire, and a serpent comes out and bites him. And if I'm Paul, I'm like, come on, God, right? But not Paul. Paul, it says that Paul shook it off and kept going. And I think that's just a good word, man, that I don't know what you're going through, but man, by the grace of God, can you shake that thing off? Because Paul shook off that snake bite, and you know what would happen? He would go on and he would save the people of Malta through the good news of the gospel and the grace of God. See, Paul was a rise up guy. And this is a quick side note, not so much in my notes, but moms and dads, I want to encourage you. We need to train our kids to be rise up people. Like, do you know God's a good father? He's a good father. And yet, God will allow you and I to walk through difficulty, not to crush us, but to strengthen us, to kind of weave and fashion a strength, a rise-upness in us. It's because he's a good father. And yet we've kind of raised a generation of children that we've just coddled and cared for. We don't want them to have any adversity or difficulty. We don't want to let them fall. And you know what we've done? In essence, we've created a generation of kids that have no resilience, no ability to rise up again. So actually, do you know that the American giraffe, it's the tallest animal on the planet. And do you know that that a giraffe, when it's born, it actually falls 5 to 6 feet to the ground. As the infant falls to the ground, the umbilical cord snaps free, and that's the signal for the young giraffe to start breathing. And then as the giraffe is on the ground with its gangly legs, the mom will almost immediately go over and start violently nudging her infant. And then if it doesn't stand up, she'll turn and she'll start kicking her little baby back and forth. And you think, what a mean mother. No, she's not. She's training her child to get up in a hurry. That giraffe needs to learn how to get up and walk immediately, because the lions and the hyenas, they're looking for the ones that can't rise up. And that's true biblically for you and me. It says the devil, that he walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people that don't know how to rise up again. But God is fashioning a rise up people. I want to tell you this too, that rise up people aren't born, they're made. Rise up people, you're not born that way. You're made into a rise up child, a man or woman of God. And so I'll say this, that rise up people are made in the daily and not in a day. So in other words, it's not about intensity, but it's about consistency, that you're doing things that institutes installs a resilience inside of you. And so a little background. So this past week, I traveled with the New York Jets. We took on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We lost, and I don't want to talk about it, okay? But as we were flying down to Tampa, I had my little iPad out, and I had downloaded some Netflix films. Don't worry, I read my Bible first, okay? And then I put on a Netflix documentary, and it was about The Biggest Loser. Do you remember this show? And so in the Biggest Loser, it premiered in 2004. It ran all the way through 2016. And man, it became this thing that was one of the most popular TV shows on network TV. It was a smash hit, and we would find ourselves invested in these people that were trying to get back control of their lives. And if you remember that they had the two trainers that were on there, his name was one was Bob Harper. He was kind of like a good-looking Richard Simmons, but he was a little bit meaner. And then we had the beautiful Jillian Michael. Like, she was like this beautiful woman, but I think she might have had a demon. She was like, "Now get down and give me 15 push-ups." I said, "No." It's like, man, see, you don't want to play with that girl, man. And so if you remember, season eight winner was a man by the name of Danny Cahill. And Danny Cahill, in the span of 6 months, he lost 239 pounds. I think we have an image of him before and after. And kind of like an interesting fact, you know, that Danny Cahill, he actually spoke here at our church. That we had him in. He's a Jesus guy. He shared his story and his testimony. And you can imagine how shocked I was when I saw this documentary and he was on it. And get this, I think we have an image. He gained back all the weight and then some. And I don't know if you're like me, you start thinking, man, how could that happen? And it occurred to me, I know exactly how it happened. It happened one decision at a time. One decision at a time. And do you know, I've heard it said like this, that when you're young, you look like your parents. But when you're grown, you look like your decisions. And so, man, you're going to have to decide, man, if you're going to be a rise up individual, man, like Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to decide. Are you going to walk by your flesh, or are you going to walk by the Spirit? Paul highlights the struggle in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 17. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing," wait for it, "the things you want to do." And so here's what you need to know. Man, like Danny Cahill, he was a Jesus guy. There's things he wanted to do, but man, he was losing the battle against his flesh. That the Apostle Paul, I know we can agree that he is a Jesus guy, but he was very much aware, man, there's this inner struggle inside of me. Man, flesh, I'll define it this way. That part of you that refuses to bow the knee and say yes to Jesus, all right? And there is a struggle on the inside, and it's a daily battle against the flesh. And Paul's going to say this. You don't bargain with the flesh. You don't negotiate with the flesh. You kill it. You kill it each and every day. And so I don't know if there's an answer to this, but you can write in or let me know. How many Friday the 13th have there been? Seriously, I can't tell, man. They're like Friday the 13th, 8, 9, 10, and we're approaching Halloween when this is being aired, and so who knows? How many Jason and Freddy movies have there been? And so my idea is this. I mean, you kill these dudes, and then they just keep rising up again and again and again, right? And isn't that your flesh? That you kill that thing, you think it's dead, and that thing rears up its ugly head again and again. The good news, man, at the end of this epic movie, Jesus is going to make everything new. He's going to remove the presence of sin from our life. But until that thing, man, it's a battle. And you have to daily decide to die to your flesh. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says, "Me, I die daily." Jesus will say it a little bit different in Luke chapter 9. He says, "You take up your cross daily and follow me." Like that cross is for your flesh each and every day. And so if you're going to be a rise up, a person that gets up each and every day, you're going to have to crucify your flesh on a daily basis, man, because champions are made in the daily, not in a day. And so I have this routine that's going to crucify my flesh. I take three nails, if you will, each and every morning. I get up, I get that first nail as I pray, and that's the first nail that's stuck into my flesh. And then I get into that Bible. I read the Word of God. There's the second nail and the third nail. Man, I get in the gym or on the treadmill and I move and exercise. Man, and it's these three nails each and every morning that helps me to nail that flesh to the cross. Why? So that I can rise up and win the day. And so how about this too? And I think we see it in the text. If you're going to be a rise up son or daughter of God, man, if you're going to rise up, you need other people in your life. And if you remember in verse 20 of our text today, it said that the disciples gathered around Paul's lifeless body. It says the disciples. It didn't say Barnabas. It didn't say the 12 apostles. It said disciples. Like a disciple just means a learner. And these were the new believers. Like they're just new Christians, and yet they gathered around Paul's lifeless body, and they had the audacity to ask God, Lord, let him rise up again. Let him rise up. And guess what? He did. Paul got up. And so the same Spirit that dwells, man, in all the heroes of our faith, in the apostles, the disciples, all of them, it the same Spirit dwells in you and me if you're a Christ follower. And listen, it's not about you and I. Remember, man, we're just bit players and Jesus is the star. And if you remember, I've shared this before, but March 28th of 1990, the Chicago Bulls, they defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers. And our guy, the GOAT himself, MJ, Michael Jordan, he put up 69 points. With the Chicago Bulls, a rookie by the name of Stacey King, he scored 1 point. And so they interviewed the rookie Stacey King following the game, and the reporter's like, man, what are you going to remember about this game? And Stacey King didn't miss a beat. He says, you know what I'm going to remember about this game? This is the game that MJ and I, we put up 70 points. like MJ did 69, you did one, bro. MJ did the heavy lifting, and that's how it is for you and I. Man, that Jesus Christ, man, we pray, but Jesus and His Spirit does all the heavy lifting. And so I wish this wasn't so, but it is true. Man, like, you're going to need other people in your life if you're going to be a rise-up individual. And here's the reason why. Discipleship happens in community. Discipleship always, it takes place in community. And listen, I'm an introvert, so I so wish this wasn't true, but it is. Like, if you're going to grow and mature in your walk with God, you're going to have to walk it out with other people. And so, I mean, we see this, like, naturally outside of the church world. You know this, right? Like how many of you actually use the things that you went to school and learned on your current 9-to-5 job, right? We dropped $250K to get our degree, and we get it, and we use none of it just to have somebody on the job retrain us or disciple us on the job, right? And you hate it, but it's true. Don't mishear me, man. Man, books are great and classes are great, but at the end of the day, discipleship happens in community. I learned how to pray, not from a book, but by praying with other people. I learned how to be a dad, not from a book. Though books are great, I learned it from other dads. I learned how to be a husband, not from a book. Though books are great, I learned it from other husbands. And so, man, it takes community. Discipleship happens in a community. And I want you to know that, man, rise up people. They have other people in their life. We see this, even the Apostle Paul, who had been to the third heaven, he writes books of the Bible, and yet in this moment, he needed other people around him in his life, or he wasn't going to rise up, man. And so you can read about Solomon. You know, Solomon, he's supposed to be the wisest man who ever lived. And so he wrote one of the books of wisdom literature in your Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes means the teacher. In other words, Solomon's teaching us something. And you might remember in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's this kind of well-known passages where it talks about the seasons of life. You know, actually that group, the birds, we have the song from it. For every season, turn, 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 right? I said I wasn't going to sing again, and I did. But it says that there's a season to laugh and a season to cry. There's a season to dance and a season to mourn. And it goes over just all these different seasons of our life. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but it's not by accident that in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, now Solomon, the wise man, he starts telling us you're going to need relationships in your life. He's going to say that two are better than one, that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken, and so we need relationships. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to share with you the greatest wedding proposal of all time. And get this, it was done by a pastor dude. And so, fellas, if you're watching this with your fiance or your wife, you might want to tell them to leave the room because they're going to hate you because of this one. But, man, here's how this guy, man, this pastor, he proposed to his girl. And so he picked her up in his Honda Accord. And it was a date night like any night. And so, he drove. And they drove to a boat launch. And there was a boat waiting for them. And so they get out and they get into the boat and then they whip around the lake. And they're laughing and just kind of the breeze in their hair. And they stop at an island and there's a picnic all laid out for the two of them. And they talk to a candlelight over a little picnic on this island. They jump back in the boat and they whisk back to the boat launch. But now this time there's a limousine waiting for them. And then this is different now. Uh-oh, it's just ratcheted up a notch. And so she gets into the limo with him, and the limo drives them to a small landing strip. And is there's a little Cessna airplane waiting for them. And so they get into the airplane, and it flies them to a little remote place where there's a little chapel. They get out, they walk up to the chapel, and they open the door, and then she sees the altar. And then she turns around to him, and he's down on one knee. And there it is. He proposes to her. And she says yes. And so, like, what an amazing proposal. But I want you to know this. He says, each of those vehicles represent a season of our life. He says, man, my Honda Accord, man, that's just everyday life for you and I, our everyday car. But the boats are seasons of our life where life is fun, it's easy, the wind is blowing in our hair, and then you get the limo, that there's seasons of our life, man, when others are going to need to drive us. We can't care for ourselves. And then the Cessna, that's seasons of our life when, man, we're just flying on our spiritual life, the highest of heights with the Lord. And he says then there's a beat-up pickup truck. And that beat-up pickup truck is when we get old and decrepit and man, that we're going to need others to care for us. And as I listen to that, I would submit to you, man, the seasons of life, we just need other relationships. In our church, we do a thing called connect groups. It's small groups of people that get together. They do life with one another, and they help people to rise up during different seasons of their life. And so that's the word for today. I hope that you are going to be a rise up man or woman of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. And God, I want to thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you for your spirit. And Lord, I'm praying for every man, woman, and child within earshot of my voice here today. God, I pray that men and women would embrace the role that you have given them. God, may they make it great. Lord, what an honor and a privilege, Lord, to be invited into this great story, your story, that you look at us, Lord, you call us sons and daughters of God, that you have a great role for us and a purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, every nation, the sermon's over with, but we're not quite finished. You know, I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. A tithe that simply means a tenth, and we believe that the first tenth of everything that comes in, we give back to the Lord as a sign of praise, worship, and honor. But the great news of our Bible and the goodness of God, he says that I honor those who honor me. And God's going to honor you as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. And so there's three ways you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, hit the giving icon, or you can give via text. It's how my family and I give. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly and abundantly bless you as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. Every nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're amazing too. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.